Magyantimandasya Gyanandala Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Dinna Tasmai Shri Gave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manupistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakaramayam Dadati Svavadantikam Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhissa Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sasvati Deve Govani Pachayine Nirvishisha Shunyavari Pashita Rishatarine Vanchakopa Tuvasha Kripa Sinuvievata Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so welcome back everybody to day number 2. As we were saying yesterday already, this day is like the heart of the whole retreat. We will have 2 really important tools which we will discuss. So we will need your good attention and entire focus. Just to begin with, somehow this altar still looks a little bare, you know. I'm missing a picture of Prabhupada or, you know, our Parampara or, you know, some Panchatattva or something, you know. So this is like your altar here. So please put something on this altar and, you know, not much bhakti here somehow, you know, isn't it? Yeah, so I thought there were several devotees who had some deities, so why? I mean, usually in previous retreats we had the whole altar full of, you know, deities and pictures. Only maybe no need for our Guru Maharaj's picture, because, you know, it's kind of a public altar, so we don't put our Guru Maharaj's on there. But, you know, if you have any nice picture of deities or of Prabhupada or something, or more deities, then please put them on there. Not now, but later, just to make it a bit nicer. Okay, so I think then we will simply ask our group number A to begin with. Inattentiveness in japa, inattentiveness on the body and mind, right? In japa. And actually, maybe I don't know if I expressed it properly. We want to show the inattentiveness, but then we want to finish with the attentiveness. We want to finish on the positive note and not leave it all negative. And same also for the group number 1, you know, inattentiveness in kirtan. But then we want to finish on the attentiveness, that we have the feeling, oh, finally they got it, thank God, you know. And now they're attentive. Ah, what a relief, you know, like that. Okay, so group number A, you can get here on the stage. Maybe you want to use the microphone so everybody clearly hears you.
Our play today is a day of a devotee. Okay. How the devotee chant her japa? How does the devotee lead her devotional life? I'm going to Mayapur the day after tomorrow. I have to get the gift for devotees, because service to devotees is more important than our own sadhana. So anyhow, today I'm busy. After finish work, I will go to supermarket, buy something nice for the devotees' pleasure. Here is the supermarket. It's so many things, difficult to decide which items is nice. Good quality, nice looking, and also really suitable to my financial means. This one, to sing. Another one.
Selective. Don't be too selective. Just take anyone. Just choose wherever.
Oh, no. We want to present the best things for the devotees, right? So I have to carefully consider. This one not good. Another one is also not good. What to do? No. It doesn't.
This one is
okay. I still feel this one is too poor. That one is, you see, the color is not nice. I want a very fresh color. Then, what's your idea, my dear mind? What's your suggestion? What I should select? After much debate with the mind, finally I found two items. But at the time, my God, it's almost 9 o'clock. Oh, I haven't chanted my rounds. Oh, 16 rounds. Take about 2 hours. Oh yeah, I have to reach home.
To go home and relax, and you will chant.
Oh, my home. Take 1 hour to reach my home. No, it's 10 o'clock.
No chanting. Huh? Worshipping deities is most important.
Now it's 9 p.m. If I worship the deity with the arti, kirtan, my neighbor will be alarmed, you know? They will complain to the police.
But don't forget you have to clean your house.
Yes, my house has not been cleaned for 1 week. Now the dust is everywhere. My God. My clothes is not getting everywhere, and something still lying on the line. So what to do?
What about cooking? What are you gonna eat?
Yeah, I feel hungry, really. My stomach is empty. I feel, I need all food prasad. So what's your suggestion, man? Mind, dear mind?
Waiting. Huh? This lady has not come to work.
Oh.
Every day she's late.
Oh, boss is complaining. Oh, boss is calling me. Oh my God, he called me 10 p.m. in the evening. So boss, my dear boss.
What for you to do?
Yeah, my boss required me to let the mobile off on 24 hours a day. He can call me anytime. Now it's 10 p.m. He still wants me to do something. So, I have to chant. Chant is my duty. My japa is my life. I have to chant. Where's my mala?
You chant. Just sit down, relax, and chant in your mind. Chant.
Sorry, I forgot my mala in the supermarket. Yeah. I was chanting and doing the shopping. Where's my mala? Oh my God, that is given by the Gurudev. I couldn't find it now. I need to call police now.
What about clicker? You remember? You're a good friend.
I couldn't find my clicker. No, I'm really...
Your best friend. Just have a look.
Clicker?
Yeah, sure.
But where I put my clicker? I can't find my
finger. Maybe.
Too difficult. What, my dear man? Where's my clicker? I couldn't find it anywhere. But I try to chant with my finger. After 10 minutes, I really feel tired. I'm a middle-aged lady. I need rest. So better I take a nap. And then I wake up. I continue with my sadhana. No.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So now time to take a rest. Now what's the time? My God, it's 1 o'clock. Too early. And I still feel tired, exhausted from the extensive shopping. So I need more rest.
Yes, take your time.
Yes. Yeah, you know, if you can take a good rest, then you have a lot of energy to do the other things. So take a rest. The body, you know, the body is the first. Your work is the second. Your sadhana is the third. Although chanting holy name is most important, but we have to put things in order. So, but another 3 hours sleeping. Now it's 4 o'clock, but still I feel tired. I need more rest because I really feel weak.
Yeah, you have to be fresh. So take
yeah,
your
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hours more.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's a 6 hour, 6 a.m. I need to take the enough nutrition in the morning. And I take a bath. After finish that, it's 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Now, what I shall do? 7 o'clock. I need to reach office at 10 o'clock. Now, I just have 3 hours
No, you
left.
Have to take bath.
I have to take bath first. Yes, yes. After taking bath, I need to change my rounds, right? I need to take a...
What about clinic? You can't chant in clean and on dirty place.
Yes, my mind will be so much disturbed, see so much dust around. Yeah. Oh, now, what to do? Oh, I clean first, then I could chant peacefully. No. You? What's your suggestion, my dear mind?
You should take some prasadam.
Yeah, I need to get all the prasadam. Now I have the energy to chant, right? No, so I need to clean the kitchen and prepare for the breakfast and also lunch. Oh, my boss is looking for me. He's waiting for me at the office 10 o'clock. But I definitely need to chant my rounds before going to office. At least 8 rounds, right? Oh, so many things. What to do? Which I should put in the first place? My God, gave me the idea. So I managed to chant, but the mind is keeping... Blah, 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 blah. So I couldn't chant in a peaceful way. Then 8 o'clock, I have to cook. Then 9 o'clock, I just have 10 minutes to honor prasadam. I smash all the things inside my mouth and run to office. But still, I try to chant on the way in the bus. When I was chanting, I keep looking under the screen. That has some news. I'm from China. The Chinese having fog. And even the model wear mask. So it's funny, but I also need to put my mask. but with the mask, I couldn't chant properly because I couldn't breathe nicely. So many people talking around me, I feel so much disturbance. But I still have to keep chanting, Kirtaniya Sadahare. But when I reach office, boss is waiting for me.
Now you are coming?
Oh, boss, sorry, just 30 minutes late. It's not a long time, boss.
I have a lot of work for you.
My God. Boss, you know you give me such a small salary. You demand so much. You should raise my salary, you know? You haven't raised it for 2 years.
Every time you want a raise, but you don't come early, you don't do your work, you're always late, and you still want a raise. There's no
yeah.
Race for you.
Yeah, boss, you know, I'm an old lady now. I'm a devotee. I have to do Hari Bhajan.
Something is wrong.
What's wrong, boss? I think everything is just a little delay, boss. You know, you give me the time. Let me adjust. But some devotee also calling me during the working hours. Hey, Mataji, can you cook for the Nityananda Triodasi? Mataji, can you send me the RT prayers? Mataji, can you translate one Maharaj lectures? You know, Maharaj gave lecture full of nectar. Oh, I haven't chanted my rounds. I haven't read Srila Prabhupada books. Now the work is still waiting for me. And so many things are bombing. Oh, my hand, my small hand is almost explode.
Maharaj, Kirtaniya Sadahari, you have to chant.
Yes, I have to chant.
Just put priorities.
Chanting is our best sadhana. I should give the japa best quality time. My Mataji said, oh.
Just relax now.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I try to.
Concentrate on the holy name.
Yeah. Yes. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So on my way to home, I try to chant my rounds with my best concentration. I feel so much pacified and peaceful. Really, chanting the holy name is the essence of our sadhana. I will go to Mayapur for a japa retreat. I will cancel my ticket to Vrindavan and just go for a japa retreat to improve the quality of my japa. So during the japa retreat, I feel so much connection with the holy name. I really haven't chanted the holy name. We should chant, yeah, really, from the heart. With what? I forgot.
Feeling.
With a feeling.
Of helplessness.
Oh, yes, helplessness. Like a baby calling for mother. Yes, yes. Now I really feel...
Cry out in your heart.
Yeah. Really, my situation is such a miserable condition. I really need to cry for mercy of Lord Nityananda and Guru and Krishna. So, we should not hurry now. Harinam, Namo Eva Kevala. Harinam, Harinam, Haranam, Eva Kevala. Kalo Naste, Naste, Eva Naste. Kartia Anyaka. Haribo.
Hare Hare. in Madhava, these singing so sweet, and but Prabhuji, I'm so sleepy. What do you think?
Yeah, it's very slow. Let's go and take some prasadam.
Ice cream.
Yeah, ice cream.
Yeah. Or maybe pizza. Pizza. Let's in Gada. Let's go. Yes. You'll come in the end. It's Brocky and usually. Okay.
Hare Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare.
Playing so fast now. This is not quite to my taste. After all, don't they know that we're supposed to chant with heart and feeling? This is just sense gratification. Besides, I can't even play the cartels that well.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
What's wrong with him? Where is he, this senior devotee? Have you seen him? Call him back, let's go for him.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One thing I noticed on a fasting day, everybody's talking about prasadam, you know. Seems like this is on everybody's mind, is it?
That was a good
endeavor to begin with. Let's see what we actually... I was thinking the role play, the next one, maybe we will have in the beginning of the afternoon session, because it will just be around the morning's topic. So we will have another one later. Usually, as the retreat goes by, usually the role play is becoming better and better. Once you get the hang of it, and you know, you understand what we are meant to do. Okay, so before we begin with lesson number two, I want to add a couple more little things to our lifestyle topic yesterday. Chanting the holy name is a certain lifestyle. We did mention it before, but just I want to emphasize it one more time, that after the afternoon's discussion, when we were speaking how these four principles of material advancement are, so to speak, disqualifications, right? The high parentage, good wealth, high education, bodily beauty. So that kind of makes it very clear how important the simple lifestyle is, right? Otherwise, if our focus is on material progress, if that's our main thing in life, then already focus on the holy name is lost. You know, as long as we are too preoccupied, just accumulating more and more wealth, just getting higher and higher degrees, just, you know, being occupied in expanding our material facilities, focus is somewhere else. And the mind simply will not be peaceful to actually get on deeper levels of chanting. We will discover that a minimal peace of mind is actually required. Otherwise, if there's too many issues on the mind, just so difficult to involve the heart actually, because simply the mind is just too preoccupied with all kinds of issues. So that's really why this simply living is such an important foundation to deeper chanting, to have that peace of mind to really connect. And the other thing which I maybe didn't emphasize enough yesterday, we were mentioning the importance of association with like-minded devotees. So from that we can also take lifestyle principle, meaning that we have to be part of a community. As soon as we live somewhere away, you know, from devotees, from a temple, already our chanting will suffer, very, very clear. That's why being an active part of an active community is almost like, you know, one secret of success, one real important principle of survival. Actually, you know, because very often we find this, even though it's a very simple thing, but often for devotees not easy to understand and make that the main priority, you know. I know so many cases where people, oh, they've inherited a house from the grandmother in the middle of nowhere, and just because it's a house there, oh, well, they're moving there, you know, and they don't realize, oh, this is miles away from the next devotee association. How will you survive as a devotee? No chance, no chance. The association of devotees, so super important to remain alive and enthusiastic and inspired, you know, it's a whole thing. We discussed this also in our spiritual culture courses, that one secret of success for Grihastha life is to live in walking distance of a temple. If you live in walking distance, then very natural. That's what we have in Mayapur, you know. And we see everybody, most devotees take part of some parts of the morning program. It becomes very natural. But if you live an hour away from the temple, well, focus is already lost. You know, you will not be there regularly, and you will simply starve. You know, you don't get enough nourishment there for the bhakti life, and the chanting will go down. So that's actually how we show our sincerity, that we arrange our life in such a way that these lifestyle aspects are really given, and then we will have good chanting. Okay, so let us now move to lesson number 2. To begin with, I want to introduce you to the famous kirtan arrow. This kirtan arrow was developed from His Holiness Satchinanda Swami and Burijan Prabhu, a very genius formula which gives different points, different keys or tools in order to deepen our chanting. And this kirtan arrow, the inspiration for that comes from the Bhagavatam, verse 7:15:42, where we hear the following analogy. The Vedic mantra, meaning the Maha mantra, is the bow, which means it has the potential, you know, of a bow. If it is properly used, it has the potential to shoot the pure living entity as an arrow, right? The pure living entity is the arrow, not any living entity, but a pure living entity. And the target is the Supreme Lord, right? Very nice little analogy. The Maha Mantra simply has that inert potential to bring the living entity, if there's a certain level of purity there, to the topmost target of Lord Krishna. So, and from this arrow analogy, Satchinanda Swami and Burijan Prabhu, after contemplation for several months, they were thinking deeply about this, and they came up with this arrow analogy, where you write arrow, you know, vertically, and every letter stands for one key. So yesterday we discussed the A for alignment or attentiveness on the level of the body, mind and heart, so that we can receive the holy name and avoid aparad. So this is always step number one, the A in the arrow, meaning alignment or attentiveness. So, and then today, this morning's topic, for the first R of the arrow, which stands for relationship. Chanting the holy name with the awareness of a relationship with the Supreme Lord. And that will help us to establish a connection and makes our practice lively. Yeah, so this point of chanting with the awareness of a relationship, this is almost like, you know, for many devotees, this is like a turning point in their chanting, actually. Let us discover this. So, you know, as we know, Krishna is really our dearmost friend. Our dearmost friend. There's beautiful descriptions in the 11th canto of Paramatma, Chaitya Guru in the heart. I will read to you 11.11.6 in the purport. Well, it's not Prabhupada, but Prabhupada's followers, 11th canto. Lord Krishna is so kind that he patiently sits in the heart, trying to guide the conditioned soul back home, back to Godhead. Certainly no material friend would remain with such foolish companion for millions of years, especially if his companion were to ignore him or even curse him. But Lord Krishna is such a faithful, loving friend that he accompanies even the most demoniac living entity and is also in the heart of the insect, pig and dog. So this is the situation, that Krishna actually never gives up on us. Even though for so many lifetimes we have ignored Krishna, we have neglected him, we have abused and cursed him, we have rejected him, but Krishna nevertheless never gives up on us. He always faithfully remains there, accompanying the living entity lifetime after lifetime, trying to find every possible opportunity to remind the living entity of this lost and forgotten relationship. Really, he takes every single opportunity to finally put an end to this forgetfulness, even though we've been so super stubborn for so many lifetimes. So this relationship with Krishna and ourselves has been really going very much one way. You know, Krishna has never given up on us, but we have just turned our back to Krishna in a stubborn and ignorant way. So now, as we know, Brahmanda, Brahmite, Kona, Bhagyavan, Jeev, Guru, Krishna, Prasada, Pai, Bhakti, Lata, Bhij, the living entity wandering up and down through so many species of life, different planetary systems, wandering, and then finally, by some good fortune, he meets Sadhu, and he receives Sambandha Gyan. He receives knowledge. Sambandha Gyan has three aspects. What are the three aspects of Sambandha Gyan knowledge? We have already talked about it yesterday and a bit today. What are the three aspects?
The living entity, the Supreme Lord, and the relationship.
Yes, living entity, Supreme Lord, and relationship, which includes also what is this whole material world all about. It is all meant to be used in Krishna's service. Right? Yes. That is Sambandha Gyan. So now, this Sambandha Gyan actually has to hit the heart. It has to become realized knowledge. It is not enough to simply have it on the level of the mind and intelligence. Yes, 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 I know I am Krishna's servant. But then we make all different kinds of, endeavors to enjoy it. Right? So as long as we make so many endeavors to enjoy and control, we don't know that I am Krishna's servant. It is merely theory, right? It is not realized. Yes? Yes. So, Sambandha Gyan, when that actually hits the heart, when it becomes realized knowledge, my question to you, what will be the immediate feeling, the immediate response, immediate emotion? Let's be a little emotional here. What will be the immediate emotion, the feeling in the heart, once that Sambandha Gyan really hits the level of the heart? Think first deeply before you answer, because it's not so easy to guess. What is the immediate feeling you imagine all of a sudden you realize, wow, I actually have an eternal loving relationship with the Lord. The immediate feeling, immediate.
Is there to surrender?
Surrender, well, that is step number two. Huh?
Comforting,
not quite.
Separation.
Any other suggestions?
Gratitude.
Huh?
Gratitude.
Even before. Immediate. Later.
Remorse.
Yes, remorse. Repentance. Regret. Oh, I have neglected this relationship for so long. Wow, what a rascal I have been. What a fool. Oh no. Yes, there has to be lamentation. And this is very practical. If we don't feel this, it means this Sambandha Gyan has not hit the heart yet. It is simply theory. You know, if we think, oh, actually, I'm pretty cool and, you know, I've got it all down here and look at me, what a fired guy I am. And, all right, previous, you know, life there before Krishna consciousness, I did so many things. But actually, you know, I have studied and so many things. And, you know, then, oh, well, Sambandha Gyan has not hit the heart. It is simply on the level of the mind there, you know. We are not actually acting on it. Yes. Let us quickly move to lesson number 5, since we will not have time really to discuss the lesson 5 properly. But there is 5 very nice verses which are so nicely describing the inner mood, the inner transformation there, what is happening with the living entity. This is right in the beginning of lesson 5. The position of the living entity in the material world comes from Prema Vivata, chapter 6. Verse number 7 is roaming about in the material world. This is really nice, this roaming, you know. This is really what the entity, living entity is doing, roaming around in the material world, taking one birth after another. If by chance the living entity comes in contact with a saintly person, he becomes immediately knowledgeable of his true identity as pure spirit soul and eternal servant of Krishna. So here it says immediately knowledgeable. So I think we have to admit, unfortunately, it's not so immediate for most of us. But theoretically, if the heart is prepared, actually the knowledge can come immediately. So what's the preparation of the heart? How does the, in what kind of state does the heart have to be in order to immediately receive the Sambandha Gyan? His heart has to be like a sponge. And what exactly makes the heart like a sponge? You mentioned humility, yes, but something else. Queen Kunti expresses that. Shraddha, that comes later. Despair. Yes, Queen Kunti says we have to be materially exhausted. We have to come to this point where we are sick and tired of all these endeavors to enjoy. You know, we have to come to the point where we feel, my God, what am I doing here? You know, I'm trying to be happy, and again I'm falling on my face, and you know, what is this? You know, that's when, you know, when the heart is actually receptive, when there is material exhaustion. So when that is there, then we can become immediately knowledgeable. But even that also, you know, we are kind of often lacking in that too, that we still have so many big plans there, how to do it really big time in this world. You know, we are not all really completely materially exhausted. We think, all right, a little bit of Krishna consciousness is very nice and interesting, but, you know, I also have to fulfill all these plans and desires and ambitions and all that. So, okay, let's go to the next verse here, verse number 8. Enlightened by this knowledge, he does not want material entanglement any longer. And he laments. Here we have it. Alas, why have I served this illusory material energy for so long? This lamentation has to be there. That's the immediate response if actually that knowledge hits the level of the heart. So then, verse number 9, it is even escalating here. He bitterly regrets, bitterly, yes, he bitterly regrets and cries out, Krishna, my Lord, I am your eternal servant. Ever since I left the shelter of your lotus feet, my life has been completely devastated. Wow. This is actually the internal, you know, feeling which we should have. You know, only then that Sambandha Gyan really has hit the heart. If we don't feel like this, well, we still have a lot of work to do there to bring it from the level of the intelligence and mind to the level of the heart. Yes. So, and then, amazingly, verse number 10, Lord Krishna is so merciful that if anyone appeals to him earnestly, he immediately releases the jiva from material entanglement. Wow, that's the whole point. If we actually appeal to Krishna in this mood, in this regretful crying out mood, Krishna immediately releases. I mean, this is actually mysteriously, you know. Yes, yes, it's amazing. It just shows how much it is all a question of the heart. How we appeal to Krishna. You know, very often we hear these things, yes, we first have to come to the mode of goodness and this and that. Well, all right, it will automatically develop, but understanding this, no, no. Actually, just, and I mean, Prabhupada proved it, you know, how he started with the hippies there, you know, there was no mode of goodness there, no qualification, but just by chanting, you know, Prabhupada's pure chanting, just by crying out, Krishna immediately protects. Yes, this is how it works. And then 11th verse even further explained, Lord Krishna fortifies him with his transcendental internal potency. And this overbearing power of the Lord's spiritual potency weakens Maya's influence on the living entity. Wow, amazing. Yes, yes. So, Lord Krishna fortifies, that means he builds a protective fort, a protective wall around that living entity who cries out in regret and despair and helplessness. He simply, with his internal potency, he builds some protective shield there around the living entity, and that weakens Maya's influence. Wow, that's all by chanting, but not simply blabbering something, but chanting in quality, you see? Yes, yes. I really like these five verses. They're so excellent, you know. Yes, whoever gives Bhagavatam classes, good thing to share in the Bhagavatam class, because it is so nicely describing, you know, the whole internal situation of a devotee and how actually Krishna protects, you know, as a response to this bitterly regretting and crying out. That's how it works. There's another nice two verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's now switch back to lesson two again. I mentioned them somewhere there, but I will share them now. On the Madhya 22:33, they basically express almost the same thing. There, verse number 33, Krishna says, one is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. And then the next one, 34, it says, it is my vow. Krishna is vowing. Wow, that means something. It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day on I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. Wow. Yes. It's all a question of the heart. Yeah, these verses are not quoted there. I didn't quote the whole verses. I just mentioned the numbers, you know. Maybe I should go through the materials again and add them so you've got the quotes on there, you know. So that's the whole point. It really depends so much how we are addressing the Lord. So now, in Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this Sambandha Gyan has to be deeply hitting the heart. It has to be deeply established, and actually only then a devotee can chant the holy name properly, deeply. Because unless this Sambandha Gyan is deeply established, it will be very difficult for us to actually mindfully turn towards Krishna when we chant. Right? This is the whole, the first key, most important key in chanting. In other words, in a very practical, simple way, when we chant, we have to mindfully in the heart turn towards Krishna. We have to address him. Krishna, I know you are there. It has to be deeply in the heart happening. Otherwise, we are not associating with Krishna. Right? In order to actually build the relationship with Krishna, we heard so nicely this morning how this chanting builds the relationship. But now we're getting to the deeper secret. This was a very nice introductory lecture. But now we're getting to the deeper secret. It only builds the relationship when we actually deeply in the heart turn towards Krishna mindfully. We are aware that Krishna is there, right? But let's be honest, you know, we can chant for many, many lifetimes and completely leave Krishna as a person out of the picture, right? We can be so busy with so many things, daydreaming, plan making, the mind is rambling. What about my relationship with Krishna? Yes, that's the whole thing. Not so easy. After some time we will do a chanting exercise and we realize how difficult it is to actually really deeply in the heart mindfully turn towards Krishna and address him when we chant. Yes. That's the whole thing. And Harinam Chintamani says, if this turning towards Krishna and chanting with that awareness of Krishna's presence is not there, then our chanting is simply a shadow. It's a reflection. It's not the real thing. Yes, it's not the real thing. Satchinanda Swami even gives this nice analogy. He calls it empty medicine capsule. Wow. Chanting, when we chant and we don't turn towards Krishna and really personally appeal to him, it looks like the capsule from outside, right? But when we open it, no medicine inside. It's actually useless. No result. No medicine. This kind of chanting, when we don't turn towards Krishna, will not establish the relationship with Krishna. We can chant like that for millions of years and absolutely nothing will happen in our relationship with Krishna. Sobering facts, isn't it? Yes, yes. Yes. So, and I mean, it's very logical. You know, we were saying that Krishna and his holy name, non-different. Holy name is Sri Harinam Prabhu. It's a person. It's Krishna. But if we really want to associate with Krishna, first step is that we have to be mindful that he is there, right? Otherwise, we are not associating. We are not. If we ignore him and we are not even mindful that a personality is there and we are longing to connect with him, we are not connecting, we are not associating. And then our blabbering, sorry to say, is simply empty alphabet. It is just noise. But it's actually not the holy name. You know, so we hear all these glories of the holy name, yes, by chanting once the holy name, this and this and this, but we also have to understand what it means to chant the holy name. So actually we are only chanting the holy name if we mindfully turn to Krishna and we are aware that he is personally there, we are appealing to him. Only that is chanting the holy name. Anything else is just some syllables there. It's actually not the holy name. Yes. You know, we can imagine today at lunchtime, talking about prasad on a fasting day, if I give you a reflection, a shadow of a plate of prasadam, you know, here you are, just try and enjoy it, you know, take it. So will this be satisfying? No, it will not, you know. Can't get anything into my mouth here, you know. So same thing, this shadow chanting does not give any satisfaction to the soul. Because we are not connecting. You know, this explains it, why, you know, we have this happening, that sometimes devotees, after 40 years of chanting, they fall back into you know, sinful activities or something. So obviously, problem is the empty medicine capsules. That's the problem. And I tell you frankly, I probably spent 20 years of my life in Krishna consciousness taking empty medicine capsules. Because I did not hear about these things. Nobody ever told me. I didn't know. So this is why I'm so committed to putting on these holy name retreats, because I would not like to see you wasting, you know, or not, let's say not wasting, but spending 20 years of your life in Krishna consciousness and taking empty medicine capsules. Simply blabbering while doing this and this and this, and not mindfully turning towards Krishna deep in the heart. Only that kind of chanting will establish our relationship with Krishna. Any other chanting will not do anything. Yes. As we said yesterday, you know, there is maybe some tiny little, you know, effect there, that at least we're somehow hanging in there, and maybe someday the day will come when we hear something deeper about chanting. But that really is the only benefit. It really is. Because let us remember, even Mayavadis, they also very commonly they chant Hare Krishna, especially in Kirtan, you know. Yeah. It's becoming a whole big fashion to chant the holy name, the Maha Mantra, you know. But, of course, they don't desire to establish a loving relationship with Krishna. They don't chant turning within their heart towards Krishna. They don't even believe that there is a Supreme Personality there. They're not interested in a relationship. So their chanting is actually also empty capsule. It's not the holy name, really. It's a shadow reflection. Yes. So we have to be very clear that actually any relationship, to develop any relationship, requires endeavor. Right? We all have that experience from our daily life. Whoever is married here knows very well, even within married life, you can really, if you ignore each other and you're not even mindful that another person is there, you know, you can just completely live past each other there, and you know, and there will be no deeper relationship happening, you know. You just do your own thing and you just ignore each other, and that's it, you know. Not only in married life, even in the Brahmachari ashram or Brahmacharini ashram or wherever, you know, relationships don't happen automatically just by time passing. No. One has to do a conscious endeavor. And the beginning point is that one has to be mindful of the other person's presence. Right? Otherwise, there's no talk about relationship. Right? I always like to give this example of a brahmachari who has been brahmachari for 25 years and then he decides to get married. So very often his marrying happens in name only, you know, but because he's so used to brahmachari life, you know, he just continues being brahmachari and he just doesn't even realize, so there is another person there now in his life, and he's meant to be mindful of that person's presence and establish a bit of a relationship there, and the person also has some needs and desires and all that, right? Sometimes we have this happening in ISKCON, you know, that it takes quite a bit of time for the person to flick the switch. Okay, so now I'm married, there's actually a person there in my life, and okay, let me become a little personal here and turn towards that person and develop a relationship. So it requires, you know, a mindfulness there. So now let us see our situation. We have spent so many lifetimes in forgetfulness of Krishna. We have ignored Krishna so deeply. This is such a deep conditioning there, actually, which we have been carrying with us for so many lifetimes. So it's not such an easy thing to really you know, eradicate this and really get rid of this. It's not just putting on a dhoti and sari and walking around with the japa beads. You know, no, there's so much more needed, actually. You know, we have to really completely reprogram ourselves and get rid of this impersonalism, which we actually all carry in our hearts to a greater or lesser degree. So it's a whole thing. It really needs deep internal work to actually really long to come to this point of longing for this relationship. So in other words, holy name has to be chanted first of all with the mindfulness, awareness, yes, Krishna is there. Let me turn towards him. Krishna, I know you are there. Please accept me. Please allow me to connect. And when we chant like this, then gradually, there should actually be a longing for this relationship should happen in the heart. That we really long, and this longing becomes thicker and more condensed until we actually experience some separation there, you know. But separation, you know, that's at this point too high for us even, you know, because we have a tough time chanting and being mindful that Krishna is actually there, you know. So let us try this. I hope you all brought your japa beads. If not, then just let me one more time give the exercise. Let us chant now for 20 minutes. For some people that's two rounds, for some maybe three or something. Don't run off now. Hey! Oh, sit down. Let me first give you the task, otherwise you don't know what to do, you know. So let us chant for 20 minutes, and really in these 20 minutes of chanting, try our utmost to really turn deep within the heart, turn towards Krishna. Krishna, I know you are there. I need this relationship. I want this relationship. Please accept me. Please allow me to connect. Let us try. Okay? And then, yeah, now we have 20 past 11. So then we can take our 10-minute break. And then we meet back here in half an hour. Right? Which will be 10 to 12. In Ekka Chakra, in our little Bhajan Kutir, not so easy. I think now at the latest it becomes very clear why this wandering around, you know, and in public transport. In our present situation where this relationship is hardly established at all. It is very, very difficult, you know. It is impossible to walk around, you know, on the boundary wall there, shopping. You're not going to mindfully turn towards Krishna deep in the heart. Let's be honest here, right? Come on. You know, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I think it becomes pretty clear, you know. Interestingly, you know, even our fear of death is directly an indication of this fact that this relationship is practically not established. Because if that relationship would be more tangibly established, we would not be fearful of death. We would not run from one healer to another healer and, oh, let me hang on to life here and stay for a few more years. No. Very clear. This is all there because that relationship is not established. If it was established, okay, what's the problem? Krishna is waiting for us. Krishna has been waiting for so many lifetimes. Why not go? What's the problem? What? Yes. Why delaying? But just the fact how we are clinging on to life and we want to stay here by hook or by crook, definitely an indication that this relationship is almost not developed at all. Because we have not really been doing what we are meant to do, chanting and mindfully turning towards Krishna. Only that develops the relationship. Only that. We have not really been sincerely doing this. So that's why this relationship, all right, maybe there is some sentiment there and this and that, but the relationships around us in our life, they are much more dear and factual to us than that relationship with Krishna, right? Yes. So this fear of death is directly an indication how we are going in our relationship with Krishna. Of course, I mean, we can say, you know, some ignorant suicide bomber there, he's also not fearful of death, and, you know, so that doesn't mean his, you know, his relationship with Krishna is established, you know. So it's not that anybody who is not fearful of death, his relationship is established, but the other way around, if our relationship is established, then we will not be fearful of death. That way round, right? The other way round, not 100%. Yes, so very clear. Actually once, because I have also put a pretty nice seminar together about death, which is a very deep topic, and once one Mataji in the audience, when I was giving that seminar, she was sharing how in Ukraine how one devotee was just about to leave her body, and the devotees asked her, "So, you want to go back to Krishna?" And she was saying, "No." And everybody was in shock. "What? You don't want to go back to Krishna?" And then she gave a pretty significant answer. She said, "Actually, I have no relationship with Krishna. I don't know anything about Krishna. I have no relationship." See? And this can very easily happen when we take empty medicine capsules. Yes, then we will one day face death and we realize, wow, I actually have not invested into this relationship. There is no relationship there, actually. Because this is really the point, that one can keep oneself very, very busy in so-called Krishna consciousness, but one can completely forget my relationship with Krishna. This is really possible, if not to say, maybe even very, very commonly going on, you know? It's two things, right? One can keep oneself busy, oh yes, I have all these projects and plans and my schedule and wow and hoo-hoo and I'm such a great devotee here. But hang on, what about my relationship with Krishna? Am I doing anything about that? Yes, one can really very easily completely leave Krishna as a person out of the picture. Completely. I guess this is why, you know, Krishna says, what is it? Manusyanam sahasrishu, you know? Out of thousands of people, maybe one is interested. And out of thousands who are interested in developing, you know, Krishna consciousness, hardly anyone knows me in truth. Yes, it very easily one can completely miss the target, the whole purpose, you know. Yeah, it is really very easily possible. Yes. That's why, you know, it is said that chanting Hare Krishna is actually the deepest secret of spiritual life. Even though so many know about the Maha Mantra, you know, every Hindu, yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, yes, 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 you know. But the deeper secrets and the hard work. Maybe by now we realize, hopefully, that chanting Hare Krishna is actually hard work. It's really deep internal work every day, you know, just really turning towards Krishna in a longing mood. I mean, this doesn't just happen automatically and spontaneously or something, but it requires actually deep and hard work, which is very natural because we have been in forgetfulness for so many lifetimes. Obviously, it requires a whole thing there, you know. Yes. And, you know, you got here on your paper, a relationship demands knowledge. So understanding how Sambandha Gyan is the very basis to chanting, right? Sambandha Gyan hitting the heart. And where do we get Sambandha Gyan from? From Prabhupada's books. That's why we have to hear again and again and again. You know, Bhagavatam, especially Bhagavatam. You know, this is really, you know, the law books for the next 10,000 years. We have to hear again and again. Only this hearing again and again, this will maybe more deeply establish the Sambandha Gyan in the heart. And only then we can really mindfully turn towards Krishna. Bhagavatam is the basis to japa. Right? So now my question to you, what is more important, kirtan or japa? Japa. Any other opinions? Huh? Equal important. Yes, well, both they are very important. But what's the difference between japa and kirtan? Not always you, you know everything. In japa, yes. In japa, we more deeply, individually, deep in the heart, we establish that relationship, but only if we mindfully turn towards Krishna. When we chant, only that kind of chanting. But that's the internal work that we do in japa. It's also more austere, you know. We have to sit there and, you know, yeah, it's more deeper internal work. And kirtan, what's in kirtan? Kirtan is uplifting, well, japa also, but let's put it that way. Japa, let me just explain. Japa is the foundation to kirtan. Yes. Unless we go through this internal work of establishing our relationship in japa, there will be any chance that in kirtan we lose it, you know? Yes, because kirtan, same thing there, it's all about connection. Especially the kirtan leader has to be connected. That's what makes a kirtan a good kirtan. If the kirtan leader, deep in his heart, he's actually mindfully turning towards Krishna and connecting. Not so easy. Kirtan is not just a question of being a musician or something. No, one actually has to connect. Yes, otherwise even in kirtan, empty medicine capsule also available. Yes. Yes, yes, not giving anything to the soul there, you know. It's some performance and some show there, but empty, you know. Yes. So it's a whole thing. So Bhagavatam is the basis to japa. Japa is the basis to kirtan. Because in kirtan, so many distractions. There's the melody, there's the audience, there's the instruments, there's that, there's that. So unless we connect in japa very deeply, good chance that we will not be able to connect in Kirtan. Much more difficult. Much more. Right? Yes. So that's the difference between Japa and Kirtan, and that's also what makes a good Kirtan a good Kirtan, that the Kirtanier is connected. If he is connected, then very easy for everybody else to connect. Yes, I will discuss this more in the afternoon and tomorrow. Because actually consciousness is a very powerful energy flooding the whole body, coming out through every pore of the skin, emanating. If one is a little perceptive, one can feel. And it is traveling on the sound vibration. Yes. Consciousness of the speaker, of the singer, traveling on the sound vibration, what comes out of his mouth, and it affects the whole atmosphere in the room. That's the power of consciousness. Yes, through sound, especially. Not only, even just by the mere presence of a person, consciousness is emanating. That's why, you know, highly advanced devotees, they're always effulgent. It's simply that pure consciousness emanating, you know. Even in Christianity, that understanding is there. That's why the saints are always painted with a halo, you know, with an heiligen schein. You know, so this is not just some you know, artistic thing there, but no, it is that consciousness emanating from a person. It's tangibly perceivable if one is a little perceptive. And same also in, you know, contaminating consciousness. Not only the pure consciousness emanates from a person's body, but also contaminating consciousness, lusty, angry consciousness, also comes from every pore of the skin, travels on the sound vibration coming out of his mouth, and it affects the whole atmosphere. Yes. So that's why leading Kirtan, very high responsibility. Actually, it's interesting to understand, once we get on deeper levels of understanding what Kirtan is, then this whole question of who leads becomes very unimportant. You know, as long as we are so eager, oh, I have to lead, it means we actually don't really understand what Kirtan is. You know, we are running after this ego satisfaction of, oh, I am leading. And we don't understand. Actually, Kirtan is all about connecting with Krishna. Once we understand that, then we realize actually it's easier to connect in Kirtan when we don't lead. You know, because as soon as you sit there, you know, very easily we get into external consciousness. Oh, what is everybody thinking? And maybe they're getting bored, and maybe I should change the tune, and blah, you know, the mind is rambling on, and you can't even connect. You know, and that's why we sometimes don't feel so satisfied, because the connection is not there, you know. Yes. Okay, where do I continue from here? Yes, let us do at this point a little personal exercise, just to reinforce this conviction that Krishna is actually there. Let us share in pairs or with three people, let us share some situation of our life where we definitely could understand and perceive that yes, Krishna is there. He is there in a very personal way, arranging things in my life. I hope we all have some experience of this, because actually Krishna likes to reveal himself and likes to show himself to the devotee, just to, you know, increase the faith that Krishna is there. Because without this faith that Krishna is there, we can't even chant properly, you know, as we just now discovered, you know. Yes. So let us do this now, just for a few minutes, share some experience in our life where we clearly understand, yes, Krishna exists. He is there, no doubt. Okay, go permanently, any anymore. So it looks like everybody had something to share, thank God. I'd like to share one little story with you from my life, which almost blew my mind, actually, how Krishna showed that he is there. This was a few years ago. I was on the way to Nepal to conduct the first Holy Name retreat there. And I arrived at Kathmandu Airport, queuing up to get the visa. There's a big queue, you know. So I was a little anxious to get this quickly done, because I knew the devotees are waiting there, and sometimes if it takes too long they think I'm not on the plane and then they go home again, you know, because sometimes it takes 2 hours or something until you get your visa there. So in any case, I finally was at the table there paying for the visa, and unknowingly I dropped some money on the floor. I did not notice. This is quite unusual for me, because I'm always extremely careful with money. I always hide it in the money belt, under my clothes and everything. So, and I dropped this money, didn't notice, ran off down to the luggage belt there waiting for my suitcase. And this money was not a little bit of money, it was a lot of money. It was actually 2 €500 notes, 1,000 euros, which I had folded up and hidden in my money belt so I would not lose it. And exactly those 2 €500 notes I dropped on the floor and didn't even notice. So, and then I was waiting for the luggage. Everybody's suitcase came, but my suitcase was the very last one. And just when I grabbed the luggage and wanted to run to the door, two fellows stopped me, two young guys, one from Germany, one from England. And they said, "Excuse me, can we ask you a question? Are you traveling with some euros?" And I was thinking, what a stupid question, you know. And I said, "Yes, I'm traveling with some euros." And then he asked, "Oh, could you have a look if you're missing something?" And I thought, well, this is even a more stupid question, you know. And I thought, all right, let me have a look. And I looked in my money belt and I almost fainted in shock when I saw, my God, I had lost 1,000 euros. So my brain didn't even work properly. I couldn't even think, you know. I didn't even know what to say. So they watched my face and said, "So, how much? How much?" You know? And then I said, "Well, yes, I lost 500, no, 1,000 euros. And then they gave me that money back, saying, "Okay, we believe it must be yours." So, and then these two fellas, they were actually standing behind me in the queue, you know. And while we were waiting there, I heard they had some discussion. They were wondering whether they need passport photos to get the visa. And I overheard the conversation, and I've done this many times, so I thought, all right, let me help these guys. And I said to them, yes, you need passport photos, and over there, there's a machine where you can get them, you know. So we had some little exchange. I was offering some little service there to them, and they were going off getting their photos, and afterwards they came back standing in the queue behind me. But we didn't have any more conversation than that. So, and then they were explaining, they were saying, yes, well, what happened? We found this money on the floor here, and we didn't know what to do. We did not want to ask, oh, anybody lost €1,000 here, come and pick it up. So we didn't know what to do. And then one guy said, and it's just too much money to just put it in your pocket and keep it. We just couldn't do it. We just couldn't do it. And then the other one said, yes, and somehow we were just hoping that it's yours. That's what they said. They were saying, we were hoping that maybe it is yours. So, and I mean, what could I say, you know? I didn't even have a book to give them or nothing, you know? I was just thanking them from the core of my heart. And they were saying, yeah, it's all right, we know. It would completely spoil a visit to Nepal losing €1,000, wouldn't it? And what could I say? I had to agree. So now the funny thing is, these €1,000 were meant to sponsor the first Holy Name retreat in Nepal. And as you may imagine, sometimes I'm a little doubtful. Is it all worthwhile, you know, spending so much money just on a Holy Name retreat? Is it really worthwhile? This kind of shows a little bit that maybe I'm also not 100% convinced that the Holy Name is the most important thing. If I had that conviction, I wouldn't even have any doubt, you know. So I remember distinctly, I was sitting on the plane thinking, is this really the right thing to do, you know, to spend all that money just on a three-day Holy Name retreat? So, and I could feel Krishna was perfectly answering that question by making me lose the money which was destined, you know, put aside there for this. In a miraculous way, up to now, I don't know how this happened that I lost this money, you know. I really had it so hidden there. I don't know, you know. So I really felt Krishna was showing me, no matter how careful you are, you know, and how much you try not to lose money, I can take it away at any time. And you don't even notice. And then in a miraculous way, I can also give it back at any time, in a miraculous way, you know. Yes, and then considering the luggage, if I had just gotten my suitcase, you know, 3 minutes earlier, I would have been out the door and I would have been with the devotees there who were waiting, you know. Yes. And then the fact that he was saying, we just couldn't keep the money. Obviously, this was Paramatma telling them, you guys better don't keep it. You know, you can't. You're not entitled to. And then the other guy saying, we were simply hoping it's yours. Again, obviously, it was Super Soul telling them, go to this woman there in her white sari and shaved head. It's hers. You know, otherwise, how else? That's how they expressed it, you know. They were saying, we just couldn't keep it. And we were just hoping it's maybe yours. Yes, wow. You know, I tell you frankly, it took me the rest of the day to digest Krishna's jokes, you know. I was really, my God, you know. It took me the rest of the day to really, you know, handle Krishna's joking ways, you know. Yes. So that's, you know, how sometimes Krishna likes to show himself. And I mean, really, for me, this was the perfect way of entering the doubt, you know? Because I felt Krishna was saying, all right, I can take it away at any time, and I'm giving it back because it's for holy name retreat, you know? But otherwise, maybe I wouldn't have gotten it back, you know? So it was quite, yes, it did strengthen my faith in Krishna's presence, definitely. I could not, you know, deny Krishna's presence after all that, you know. Yes. What? Well, I tell you frankly, these were just, you know, moments and confusions and complete blank in my mind. I couldn't think at all, you know, what to speak of the Mahamantra. No, in this moment, I couldn't even think straight, you know, really, because to lose €1,000, that's quite a bit of a blow for the mind, you know. No, I didn't. But obviously, Krishna answered, you know, even though I was not remembering the Mahamantra in that minute, but Krishna knew the intention, you know. Okay. Yes, so my chanting is all there in order to establish this relationship. And looking at Prabhupada, for example, Prabhupada, of course, his relationship with Krishna was firmly established. That was his reality, my relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada was not living in any other reality. So if a relationship is established so firmly, like Prabhupada's relationship with Krishna, he could go anywhere and chant. He could sit on the plane and chant, no problem, you know. But in our position, where our relationship is so fragile, almost, oh, well, just maybe hanging on one or two threads there, but not much more than that, I think it makes it very clear how much we have to work on this to deeply establish the holy name within our hearts, that relationship with Krishna, by really, you know, finding a bhajan kutir and really, really every day working so hard in turning towards Krishna. For us in this present situation, definitely empty capsule when we walk around and do this and that. And, you know, it has to be, right? Pretty clear. But simply I'm mentioning that we should not think that anybody who goes for a japa walk, you know, is not connecting with Krishna. That's the point. This discussion about the empty capsule, and there will be another capsule coming, by the way. This afternoon we will introduce the poisonous capsule, also available there on the market of capsules. Yes, so this whole discussion about the capsules, empty, poisonous, whatever, is not meant to judge others, but it is meant to judge ourselves. This is very, very important. Let's not make that mistake and judge others. Oh, empty capsule, oh, poisonous capsule. Then guaranteed, we will commit Vaishnava Aparad. Yes, guaranteed. It is really, the topic of this retreat is to deepen our relationship with the Holy Name. It's not to judge other people's relationships with the Holy Name, right? So this has to be really carefully remembered, because we don't want to go, hey, shut up down there. We don't want to go back to Mayapur and just pass judgments. Who's taking which capsule here, you know? Woohoo, now I know it. I've got the latest knowledge here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? Then we will never get on deeper levels of changing, you know? Then we will commit Vaishnava Aparad, and our mind is busy criticizing other devotees or something. So, yes, it really, we are judging ourselves here. So, definitely, if we see, you know, some great souls going for Jabba walks, please don't think, oh, yeah, Devaki Mataji said this is empty capsule. Oh, just see, you know. No. Let's be really careful with this, you know. It's a question of my relationship with Krishna, and who are we to judge other person's relationship with Krishna? We cannot judge. We cannot. We can only judge our own relationship with Krishna. And we've got enough work to do there, you know. Yeah, so let us remember, chanting. No, let us remember, how did the whole Sankirtan movement begin? As we heard this morning, it all started in Srivas Thakur's house. For 1 year, Mahaprabhu was establishing the pure chanting in his close associates' hearts for 1 year. Actually, Mahaprabhu had a holy name retreat for 1 year, not only 3 days, but for one whole year. And only confidential associates were allowed to enter that circle. It was not open to everyone. And only then he took it to the streets of Navadvip, the chanting, after a whole year. And only then he took it all around South India. You know, so that already in itself really proves the fact, at least for me it's a proof, how important it is to take that time out regularly, because we can only give Krishna to others as much as we are connected. Yes. You know, so obviously we have to recharge the batteries. We have to polish up our chanting in Japa and in Kirtan. We have to do regularly some work there, you know. And that's what Mahaprabhu did. He gave that example for a whole year. So, and then when he went to South India, to Benares, we all know Benares is and was the headquarters of the Mayavadis. What did Mahaprabhu do? He simply chanted, pure chanting. And that actually killed the Mayavadi tendencies in people's hearts. Just the pure chanting. Not logical arguments and debating. And this chanting in the street, in those days, this was a completely revolutionary thing to do. You know, no sannyasi ever had done this. We can't even imagine this, because now so many sannyasis are doing it. But in those days, it was a completely revolutionary thing. Up to then, sannyasis were simply debating, you know, in winning logical arguments. That was kind of the service of sannyasis, basically. But Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement did not start on those grounds of debate and winning, you know, the logical arguments here. But it simply started on the pure chanting. That establishes personalism, actually. Yes, that kills the Mayavadi impersonal voidism there. And many of these Mayavadi sannyasis, they became his followers, his disciples, right? So, and Prabhupada did exactly the same thing. New York was the headquarters of the Mayavadis in those days. You know, 65, this was the flower power hippie LSD times. Nobody believed in a supreme personality of Godhead. Nobody did. This was all Mayavad philosophy there. Carlos Castaneda and all these guys were the gurus, you know. Yes, I also was reading this. Nonsense. Thank God Prabhupada saved me from all that. Yes, so and what did Prabhupada do? Simply chant in the park, under the tree. Pure chanting. We might have seen, you know, film clips of how Prabhupada chanted with such deep and grave and, you know, deep devotional meditation, closed eyes. Prabhupada was not into all kinds of melodies or anything, you know, just the same simple melody, but with such concentrated devotion. And all the hippies simply imitating him like children, you know, doing what dad does. All right, Swamiji is there, he is chanting, let's all go and join Swamiji's chant. You know, this was all, you know, spreading amongst the hippies, these news. There's some Swamiji there who is doing some amazing chanting, and that's it, you know. So, and everybody was just imitating Prabhupada, sitting there with closed eyes, chanting, rocking around. And then after a while, Prabhupada introduced the dancing, you know, only after a while, just Swami step, raised arms, you know, and everybody thought, okay, let's do the same thing, raised arms, Swami step, that's Swamiji is teaching us, that's how we're meant to chant and dance, you know, and that's how the whole Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement started, actually, you know. And that pure chanting of Prabhupada killed that Mayavadi tendency in the hippies and established true personalism. So, and same thing in our case, we can say, you know, these modern days are becoming more and more impersonal, actually. We often have a tough time being personal and mindful with devotees around each other, especially these things like Facebook, where you can have, you know, 7,595 friends, you know, and many of them you've never even met, and there's no commitment of exchange in service there, nothing. It's all just, you know, on the mental platform there, you're communicating, and then when you're sick and tired of the person, you close down the computer, you know. I mean, this, what we call friendship there, I mean, oh my God, this is really so shallow. It breeds impersonalism. Completely. I've seen it. You know, how people are just so hooked on this Facebook. You know, there's even a medical term. It's an addiction. There's a medical term for it. FAD. Facebook addiction disorder. Yeah, no, I'm not joking. It's a medical term. It's true. It's a fact. Yes. We don't realize, FAD, yes. There's already treatments for it, which unfortunately are also on Facebook. Yes, no, I mean, you know, those people who look a little deeper, they realize how this Facebook friendships makes people unsocial. It actually, people forget how to build relationships. Yes. And they become very lonely and depressed, and it leads to suicide. Yes. There is a definite connection there between Facebook and suicide. People just don't know exactly what comes first, whether first the depression is there and then people are attracted to this Facebook and then they commit suicide, or whether first Facebook comes and then the depression follows and then the suicide comes, you know. But it really makes people incapable of building trusting and deep factual relationships where there is exchange of service and commitment. Yes. somehow the dull-headed, impersonal, crazy Kali Yuga person has to come about, and it's all through high technology. Yes. We think it is all the latest thing and such advancement, but it actually simply brings about the Kali Yuga person. Of course, no doubt, I know so many Maharajas are also on Facebook simply because there are so many Facebook addicted people out there. But that's the thing, these things have a tiny little bit of advantage, but then so much disadvantage. And interestingly, sometimes I do check the news a little bit, what's going on in the world, because I'm one of these people that could be the Third World War going on and I wouldn't even know, you know. So that's why just recently I started already, all right, every, you know, two weeks or something, I quickly check a website of the German news, what's happening in the world. And yeah, sometimes you can pick up some food for thought there, that you probably know, you know, this IS, this Islamic State, it's a whole big terroristic thing taking over. Huh?
ISIS.
Oh, in Germany we call it IS. Islamic State, sorry, Islamic State. They were discussing recently how this Facebook is really feeding terrorism. It's the best way to spread terrorism, Facebook. Yes, and they're at a loss what to do about it, how to keep this under control. Yes, because through Facebook, and they were discussing how Facebook is so manipulating the young people's minds. Yes, complete brainwashing through Facebook. Yes, yes, and they are at a loss how to control all these terroristic activities. I mean, just lately, in the last few months, if anybody is a little bit up with the news, wow, you know, it can be a little scary, you know, what the future is, you know. There's this one terrorist attack after the other, you know, happening in Europe, you know, in France and Germany and so many places, you know. It's really, poo, you know. And it's all, the grounds of it is Facebook. Yes. So that's what Prabhupada was always saying. You know, any tiny little convenience creates so many more headaches and inconveniences, you know, and problems. Yes. Any material solution creates only a further big amount of problems. And with things like Facebook, wow, definitely, you know. Yes. Yes. So in any case, you know, we are all carrying some little tendency for impersonalism here in our heart. And sometimes we hear, oh, ISKCON is so impersonal, no care. Again, the ultimate solution is pure chanting. Because true personalism is only actually established on my relationship with Krishna. As our relationship with Krishna becomes more tangibly established, we will learn to see every living entity as part and parcel of Krishna, and we will be personal with every living entity. Right? That's true personalism. Yeah? Any other kind of personalism we're trying to have is still biased, if it is not biased on my relationship with Krishna, it is still under duality. It's still friends and enemy. I like him, I don't like him. He is my friend, he is my enemy. That's not personalism, that's sentimentalism. Right? If we want to become truly personalists, then the chanting of the holy name has to be the platform, because that's where we establish our relationship with Krishna, and as our relationship becomes more and more established, then we will get beyond the platform of duality. We will get beyond the platform of he is my friend and he is not my friend. We will simply see every living entity as part and parcel of Krishna, and we will manage to actually have a serious concern for every living entity. And that's true personalism, only that. And that's established by deeper chanting. Yes, makes sense? Yes. Yes, it's, you know, these are quite deep points actually, you know. That all these, oh yeah, of course, I mean, while we are not on deeper levels of chanting, no harm to try and be a little bit more personal with people around us, but we have to clearly understand the ultimate personalism has to be based on our established relationship with Krishna. Otherwise it will be still on the platform of duality and sentimental, emotional, you know, it will not be true personalism. And of course Prabhupada, best example, you know. Prabhupada was truly personal with every living entity around him because his relationship was firmly established with Krishna. That's the reality he was living in, my relationship with Krishna. Everything else in this world was for Prabhupada the nonsensical stage performance. In one purport, Prabhupada is describing life in the material world as nonsensical stage performance. And this is, oh, I really like that, you know, this is excellent, because this is exactly what it is, you know. Every lifetime is like we are on the stage thinking, okay, I'm a German woman, I'm an American man, I'm a Bengali woman, whatever, I'm this, I'm that. So, you know, we are living in that nonsensical stage performance, running around there doing so many things, thinking, oh, it's all so important, we are really taking it to heart. And then, at the moment of death, dum 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 dum, curtain is closing, stage performance over. We realize, wow, it's all been a dream, it's all been just some illusory reality here. It's all fading away into nothing. And at that moment, see, that's when we get a tiny little glimpse into factual reality. My relationship with Krishna will be the only thing we are allowed to keep at that moment. All the things which are now so important to us, at that moment, they have no significance whatsoever. Nothing. Nothing. Yes. Only thing that counts at that moment is my relationship with Krishna, and that is factual reality. Everything else is nonsensical stage performance here. And then next life comes, dum 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 dum, curtain opens. So then we're in a different body and blah, the whole thing again, running around, doing so many things. And then again, bzoop, curtain closes, finished, over. Yes, and like that it goes one lifetime after another, you know. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, so this chanting is really the way to prepare, to establish that relationship. Otherwise, see, death is the test. What is most important to us? Is my relationship the topmost thing? Or are there so many other things in my life which are more important? That's what we are tested at the moment of death. You see? And if there's anything else which is more important to us, if there's any relationships which are more meaningful to us than my relationship with Krishna, well, too bad. We have to come back and finish off all this more meaningful stuff there, you know. Yeah. That's what we are tested in. You see? So, and the only way to prepare is to get on deeper levels of chanting, meaning chanting and mindfully turning towards Krishna. Only that chanting will re-establish and awaken that lost and forgotten relationship. All other chanting where we ignore Krishna will not do anything for the relationship. We have to be very clear on this, very clear. Okay, so I think we'll finish on that note. Oh yes, two little more things. First of all, your homework. Since we're talking about relationship, I want to ask you in your lunchtime to go for a little walk and collect some leaves and flowers for Krishna. Just to do something for this relationship. Right? And of course, please don't just walk out here and grab the flowers in the garden there. No, 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 this would be too cheap, you know. Krishna wants to see how much endeavor we are making. You know? Right? So, you can't pick anything which is grown flowers. You have to make some endeavor. Find something else. And no need to come with a whole tree. Look at me. I am so unique and extraordinary and special. I'm coming with something that nobody else is coming with. Let's not allow our false ego to enter the exercise. Right? Yes, it's just between me and Krishna. Just something, something little. No need to make a show. False ego is poisoning everything. We will discuss this soon. Yes. So that's the exercise. And then when we meet, hopefully by then our altar will look a little nicer with a few more pictures here. At least a picture of Prabhupada. Just whoever has some pictures, please bring it, you know. So, and then when we come and meet and Kirtan is going, we simply offer our leaves and flowers here on our altar. Okay? So that's the homework. Now, group number 2 and B. Who is number 2? Raise your hands. Group number 2. Okay. Yes, you will get the topic of empty capsule in japa. Empty capsule in japa. And group number B, who is B? Okay. You will get the topic empty capsule in kirtan. So now, let's be clear, you can't just repeat the same thing from this morning, you know, because of course inattentiveness is also an empty capsule. But now we have to make more clear that it's all a matter of relationship. Right? The empty capsule means not connecting. No relationship. Not mindfully turning towards Krishna and longing for the relationship in japa as well as in kirtan. So it's getting a little bit more subtle. Right? So you have to think about something, you know, not that we have the same thing again or something, but you have to come up with some little idea how to illustrate that it's all about relationship. And again, we want to start with a negative, empty capsule, but let's finish on the positive with a full capsule. Something happens, and oh, thank God they got it right now, right? Okay? So, and we want to have that at the beginning of the afternoon session. Then we are saving a little bit of time, and it is also closer to the discussion, because this afternoon we will move on to the next hour, and it will be a different topic, so it will be better to have it in the afternoon. And our very last question, when shall we meet? Shall we meet at 4, or is maybe 3:30 also okay? because if we can meet at 3:30, that would give us a little bit more time. That we can either spend a little bit more time in Kirtan, or I have a few another nice story I want to share from this nice book about Prabhupada, and often I don't have the time, you know. So if we can just meet half an hour earlier, then we have a little more time. Is that all right? 3:30. Okay, good. So we'll meet back here 3:30, and please remember the Mournavrata. It's still going. One can easily forget when we are sitting here and talking. Of course, the groups are exempt, but even there, you should keep it to the bare minimum. You know, not using the situation to talk all kinds of nonsense now. You know, but really keep it to the minimum, just what's required to get the role play together. And then 3:30 we meet here and we start with the role plays. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Harinam Prabhu ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Om.